Welcome. This is the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast with host Rob Giannino, where we have great conversation with really awesome experts from within the fly fishing community. You see, the fly fishing lifestyle is a journey, and we're glad you're on this journey with us. Check out flyfishingjourneys.com for more podcasts, and please subscribe on your favorite podcast player. Here's your host, Rob Giannino.
On this episode, you'll hear how passion of fishing can be an amazing medium to affect change in the world. I originally learned of Steve Brown when I saw his movie Beyond the Horizon. What an incredible story. It's now available to watch on Vimeo, and I recommend you check it out. I'll leave a link in the show notes. Steve is the founder of Fish for Change, and along with his team, including Heather Harkavy, Director of Development and Student Programs, are making a difference in the lives of young people around the world. Have a listen to this dramatic and heartwarming podcast with Steve and Heather. Thanks to our sponsors, Norvice, Bissell Insurance, and The Fly Fishing Show. Are you in the market for a new fly tying vise, or maybe looking at adding a rotary vise to your tying bench? I am displaying my Norvice at all the Fly Fishing Show events, and people come by and either have one and love it or want one. You can find all the details about this fantastic vise, their show schedule, and their online store at nor-vise.com. Bissell Insurance has been insuring the fishing industry for over 30 years. They currently have over 5,600 clients throughout the U.S. Bissell Insurance is the only insurance agency sponsored by the American Fly Fishing Trade Association. They provide insurance coverage for fly shops, fishing lodges, guides, outfitters, manufacturers, and pretty much anything fishing industry related. Check them out at BisselInsuranceAgency.com. The Linwood Washington Show is up next, and you can find all the details to the nationwide Fly Fishing Show tour at FlyFishingShow.com. Now let's head to the pod.
Thanks, Josh, and we are so excited to be back here live at the Denver Fly Fishing Show. Super pumped to have both Steve Brown and Heather Harkavy from Fish for Change in Flyfish Guanaja, north of Honduras, and we're excited to hear this story, guys, because we want to talk not only about this incredible story of fishing in this part of the world, in the story of Rankin, but also what that has transpired since then with Fish for Change. So, guys, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Rob. Happy to be here.
Why don't we give a little bit of a background here, Steve, on your background, your fishing background, how you might have ended up in Guanaja, Honduras, because you come from Colorado, longtime guide. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your life?
All right. Well, like you said, my name is Stephen Brown, and I'm from Denver, Colorado. I've been guiding for 20 years. I started guiding right out of college. I went to Colorado College, stayed in Colorado, and moved to Telluride and started guiding on the San Miguel River and the Gunnison River, and also became a teacher at the same time. Ended up going on to CSU for a master's in English, where I created a course called Reading and Writing the River Through Fly Fishing, Boating, and Backpacking. Cool. So moving kind of fast, you know, and I already had about 3 years of guiding, so immediately started bringing students to the river from the beginning of my career. I actually taught that course for 4 summers in a row, and the 5th summer incorporated the traveling I had been doing down in Central America. I'd been going on 2 to 3 month backpacking trips through Central America with a fly rod, learning how to saltwater fly fish. I would save my money from guiding in the summer and then spend it all in the fall and come back and
trout bumming.
Either trout bumming for sure. Well, bonefish bumming. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Bumming for sure. The 5th college course that I taught was Reading and Writing Rivers and Oceans of Honduras, and I was able to bring 12 college students down to study rivers and oceans in Honduras, and that put me again close to the island of Guanaja. And it was shortly after that that I started Flyfish Guanaja. But that's a real basic, fast rundown.
That's so cool, though. What an amazing adventure. Tell us a little bit about Flyfish Guanaja.
During my backpacking trips, I often ended up in the Bay Islands of Honduras because of the lack of other fly anglers and the amount of fish down there and the accessibility for a backpacker to engage. I lived in Utila for a couple months learning how to bone fish, and Guanaja was an island that was one of the Bay Islands, but it didn't have direct routes of transportation. Tourists really couldn't get there. It had the smallest little blurb in the guidebook, so it was, like, to me, the most alluring spot. And the islands around would always give me these insane reports of the amount of bonefish in Gwinaha. There had been a previous fly fishing lodge there, but Hurricane Mitch in 1998 put a stop on that. So basically, this permit and bone fishery had been sitting in Honduras for about 10 years with very few people, if anybody, fishing it. But I hadn't set foot on Gwinaha in either my travels or my college course. I just heard about it, and I actually came back after that college course to my guiding job in Telluride and was telling my boss, John Duncan, about my intuition that Gwinaha would be a great next spot for a bone fishing lodge. And he said, what a coincidence. My brother has been going to Gwinaha and has a relationship to a particular island that you could probably rent and open up a lodge like that. And he knew my client list. That was his top guide at the time. And he knew his brother and he knew me. So not many people know that actually I started Flyfish Gwinaha before setting foot on Gwinaha or meeting my business partner face-to-face.
That is just
epic. So there was some risk being taken back then that I just was kind of blind through and, you know, maybe naive, but it ended me up in Gwinaha with a great business partner that I've since bought out. But that put us on an island called Black Rock, and it was a volcanic rock island out in the middle of the flats, and that was in 2008.
That is such a cool story, man. Congratulations, really. That is awesome.
Thanks, man.
So tell our listeners where it is. So you got a Honduras, right?
Yeah, so we leave Denver and fly to Houston, and then Houston flies us directly to Roatan, which is the biggest bay island. So we don't go through the mainland. We avoid the dangers of Honduras and then take a 15-minute flight over to Gwinaha. And so we leave Denver at 6 a.m. and we're in Gwinaha in the afternoon. And Gwinaha, Honduras, the Bay Islands, they're just south and east of Belize. So you've got Mexico coming down into Belize, a little bit of Guatemala, and then it just bends. It goes a straight line to the east is Honduras and then eventually Nicaragua. So we're right in that middle of that straight line.
You fly over.
Yep, and we fly over.
Yeah,
yep.
And you land right on the island.
Land on the island of Gwinaha and then take a boat to our lodge.
So the boat to the lodge.
Mm-hmm.
About how many miles on the boat?
It's about a 15-minute boat ride.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, about 5 miles.
And tell our listeners about the lodge.
Well, we started out at Black Rock. You know, I started Flyfish Gwinaha with nothing. I was a fishing guide, you know, running out of money. So we rented, and we still do. We rented an island on the north side for 2 years, and then we acquired a rental on the south side, another private island that we rented for the last 10, and we have moved back to our home ground on the north side now, away from that private island, to a 30-acre jungle beach property near the village where our workers are, with all the room for growth. There's 4 cabanas buried in the jungle there. You can walk the beach for miles for bone fishing permit, and we're a 5-minute walk to the last most peaceful fishing village on earth called Mangrove Bight, where my staff of now 25 comes from. So now they just walk 5 minutes to work, where before they had a pretty tough commute, taxi, boat rides.
That sounds just so awesome.
So we've always been kind of flying by the seat of our pants, but really we started with a 2-week season. We doubled every year. It's mostly been my guests from 20 years of guiding.
Yeah.
But now we've gotten, you know, bigger to work with some booking agents and whatnot, but we've really grown to the maximum amount of time we can be fishing down there in Gwinaha because of rainy seasons and capacity in the fishery. So we've really grown a pretty neat business down there.
And the main species is your bonefish?
Permit, I would say, now is our main species.
Oh, wow.
Bonefish started off as our main species, but once we learned about what permit really were and how many there were in Gwinaha, we spent the last 10 years learning how to catch them.
Yeah.
And it's become more of our obsession and the obsession of our anglers, too. We had a lot of first-time saltwater anglers come down to Gwinaha from Colorado and learned to bonefish, and they naturally progressed on to permit fishing. And as a result of our catch and release ethics and the jobs we've been providing, the catch and release has really taken hold on the permit fishery. So we've seen it grow, and it's really gotten better.
That's just really fun.
You know, we have a strong bone fishery too for beginner entries, and we also hunt triggerfish, snook, barracuda, jacks. You know, we'll talk about our student program here pretty soon, but the students come in and catch 20 species in a day because they're fly fishing, spin fishing, trolling.
That's
and
so
they just hunt everything.
Yeah, that's really
swims.
Neat. We're going to bring in Heather here because Heather is so passionate about your other organization, Fish for Change, and she's just an incredible ambassador. We've been talking so much about it the last couple days here at the Denver show. Heather, why don't you tell our listeners about Fish for Change, how you connected here with Steve and this whole program?
Definitely. So about 7-8 years ago, Steve started a Fish for Change program down in Gwinaha. So with the help of Noah Thompson, who is one of our ambassadors with Fish for Change, he started bringing down high school students that were interested in the sport of fishing and kind of used fishing as this catalyst for change. So throughout the summers, it organically unfolded and more kids continued to get involved. And he's really just helped create that next generation of ethical anglers within our sport and use fishing as a way of giving back in every way possible. So throughout the past few years down in Gwinnaha, kids come down and they have a chance to fly fish and participate in fly fishing education. But while they're down at the lodge, they're also connecting as much and immersing themselves as much in the local population as possible. Gwinnaha is such a special location. I had the chance to live down there last summer, and it was by far my favorite place.
Hold on.
In the world.
So you got immersed.
Oh, yes.
She ran our student program.
That is so cool.
I now have my Honduran cousins and aunts and uncles and so on and so forth.
Now, who are the kids that would be part of Fish for Change?
So we work with high school kids generally from all different backgrounds. A lot of kids stateside as well as community involvement. So that's something that we're pushing big time, especially in this upcoming season, is having local kids join us in our programs and immerse themselves alongside the stateside kids and really form friendships and relationships there. Steve's movement is just so powerful, and he's done such a great job at passing his passion and energy on to this next generation. Through all of this just magic, we've helped create now Fish for Change programs in different locations around the world. So in this upcoming summer, we are running programs down at Abaco Lodge, Campeche Tarpon Lodge, and one in Colorado on top of the Fly Fish Gwinnaha program. So we're really excited with the progression and where Fish for Change is going.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a really exciting time. But EP said something to me the other day that really stood out. It was pretty funny. He wrapped his arm around me at the fly fishing show and told me to take a look around. And I looked around and he goes, "What do you see out there, Heather?" No offense to the listeners out there. I go, old men. He's like, "Let's help change that." And that next generation isn't enough as part of the sport. I look around right now, and we really do need to recruit that next generation of ethical anglers, and I'm hoping that Fish for Change brings that community into the picture and makes those lifelong friendships that will continue doing good through the sport.
Steve, how did Fish for Change come about?
Yeah, so when we started the operation in Gwinnaha, we really had no idea the impact a small fly fishing operation could have in a community. You know, we had one of our anglers come down and fund the first hospital in Gwinnaha ever, and he did that through Food for the Poor. We've had some of our guests come and put in computer labs in the schools. You know, we were providing jobs more and more each year. All this impact, we started calling Fish for Change because Shannon Vandeveer came down from Cold Collaborative and did his first film for us on the student program, and the students came up with the slogan Fish for Change. After a film about our Gwinnaha student program, at the end it said, "Let's do our part and fish for change." And when that came on the screen, this is about 8 years ago, it hit me like a bolt of lightning that this is the term describing what we're doing, and not only what we're doing, but what's been happening for a long time. We definitely didn't invent fishing for change. People have been fishing for change for a long time. And there's projects here. There's Healing Waters. There's Bonefish and Tarpon Trust. There's Trout Unlimited. There's Casting for Recovery. There's a lot of ways people have been fishing for change. But the way we've been doing it, all these student programs down in Honduras, and now we're simply wanted to form an organization to spread that program that has been said the best experience of these teenagers' lives and make it more accessible to kids with different economic backgrounds.
Right.
So we're basically raising scholarship funds to send kids on these programs. And Heather can tell you a little bit more about the impact beyond just the week of these kids fishing and doing service work that the program has. I think that's really one of the more compelling components. Why don't you expand on the impact?
Yeah, so when kids are down in our programs, we're helping to encourage this Fish for Change movement and really bring about fishing as the catalyst to change throughout their entire lives and more than just the week that they're there. And so once they leave our program, we have a progressive 12 months of follow-up where these kids are fishing for change once a month in their local communities. And it's such an open-ended term. Fish for Change could be walking out on the stream one day and picking up plastic. It could be introducing a new kid to the sport of fly fishing. Whatever it may be, it just needs to be something where you're giving back and using it as an opportunity to do good.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the programs that you're having for this summer down at the lodge?
For sure. So, Fly Fish Gwinnaha will be running 6 weeks of programs down there, and we're holding our first ever All Girls Week during our Fish for Change program
wow.
in Gwinnaha, which I'm very excited for. It'll be really nice to get a group of young lady anglers all involved and together and just the camaraderie. And so during our programs, a general week looks like we spend about half the day fly fishing and participating in fly fishing education and helping to grow everyone as anglers. And then we give back with the rest of our time. So each program varies depending on whatever issues are going on in that particular location. But our four pillars that we're trying to hit in each spot are connection, education, exploration, and conservation. So throughout the course of these programs, kids are planting mangroves, tagging fish on behalf of BTT, doing plastic cleanups on behalf of Costa, educating the students in the local schools on English, creating that next generation of fly fishing guides in each location.
Wow.
And so we have these very just intense eye-opening days throughout the course of our programs, and our evenings are used to reflect upon them. So we all sit around in a group circle and we do creative writing courses with the kids and really just take in everything we learn from our day and help put it on paper. So we're producing really great blogs through our programs as well, and showcasing this next generation of talent and helping them to be the best they can. And so each program varies a little bit. Something I'm very excited about, EP just committed, we're doing fly tying courses during our Compeche program with the kids each evening as well. So for anyone out there that's obsessed with fly fishing and tying flies, that's the one. And so really special stuff there. And then at the Abaco Lodge program, we're teaming up with Bonefish and Tarpon Trust. During that program, we'll be tagging bonefish and learning about bonefish research and getting kind of that marine science end of things thrown in there.
That is so fun.
Yeah.
When we were talking, you know, now that I'm hearing it more live, you know, we were talking, my son here who's on this photo would be just like, he would love this, you know.
Love to have
you know, him. Yeah, he grew up fly fishing, and I had him here at this lodge up in Quebec here when he was 10, and then I took him up to the Northwest Territories. He's 21 now, and he caught a 20-pound lake trout. So we've been traveling and fly fishing for many years together, and to hear this whole humanitarian side of the things that you do, you know, that's right up his alley.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that sounds amazing, that you not only go fishing and you catch fish and you have a great experience, but you guys are giving back to the local community through this whole humanitarian outreach.
Thanks a lot, man. Well, we would love to see your son. One of the strongest components of this program is the network that's being formed. You know, a lot of the kids in our program now have been coming for 8 years in a row. And so that's one of the things that excites Heather the most is this network of friendship that really I've never seen at that age group, you know, outside of school or summer camp. These are kids that are communicating. You can talk a little bit about the network being formed because you're right at the center of it. You know, I'm like the...
Yeah, this whole post-trip network, right?
Right. Incredible.
Tell me about, like, what happens when they come back and the communication within the kids.
Yeah, so, I mean, as a young lady angler, fly fishing has always kind of been a father-daughter thing. I never really had a peer group surrounding the sport. And in this past year, Fish for Change has brought me friends that genuinely just share this love and passion for it. And it's really beautiful to see kids that have been coming back for summers for 8, 7, 6 years that just have created their lifelong best friends through this program. It really warmed my heart recently, actually. I was out fishing with one of the Fish for Change alumni last week, and he told me he's in a group chat with 12 of the fellow campers that he was with during his week. All 15-year-old boys, they're from all across the country, and they've texted every day the past 6 months since the program.
That's so neat.
And that relationship's just going to continue, and it's going to continue to unfold.
They'll probably meet up and go fishing different
That's
locations.
That's what they're planning. Yeah. They've established this worldwide network of people that love the sport as much as they do.
That's
and
cool.
It's nice to see, yeah.
Well said.
Steve, how did you find this great ambassador in Heather? I need to know this story.
Well, it is a really cool story, and I'll tell it really short. I was down fishing in Bolivia for Golden Dorado. One of my great friends had taken me on this trip. On the way into Bolivia, in the lodge, I met the group that was coming out of the same operation. And in that group was Jeff Harkavy, who's also a co-founder of the Bonefish and Tarpon Trust, and they were nearing their symposium that happens every 3 years in Florida. And after hearing my story, I showed him the trailer for our film, Beyond the Horizon. We became friends immediately, almost like we'd known each other for a long time. And he invited me to come to the symposium and squeezed me in on the adventure travel panel as a speaker.
Wow.
So I had my first ever Fish for Change booth at this symposium and brought Noah Thompson and some other of my young anglers. So we had a crew of three other 20-year-olds. And so Heather was there with her dad, of course, supporting BTT in her career. And you can imagine the inevitable, you know, union.
Sure.
And so it was like we found the woman counterpart of these young men that had been coming to Guanaja.
Wow.
And she was also just about to graduate from FSU. Fish for Change was forming. And she really helped self-create a job that we were able to raise some funds for. And she shared it with Shannon and Cold Collaborative. So she's basing out of Austin. We scraped together our first employee is Heather Harkavy. And she's, you know, she's sending the message and spreading it better than I could. And so it's really a blessing to have her. And her and her dad are both very dear friends now.
That is a really awesome story, and you guys seem to have an incredible collaborative between what you want to do, what you want to get done, and what you want to see in the next generation of these young fly fishers.
Definitely.
So we can have an incredible sport.
Thank you.
For years to come.
I'm very thankful for this team surrounding the movement. It really is. It couldn't be done without having such special people involved, such as Steve and his wife, Becky.
Heather, tell me about ethical fly fishing. You mentioned that term a couple times. Define that for me.
Ethical fly fishing, I think just being as environmentally conscious in your footprint and the way in which you are keeping or handling your fish as possible, such as the keep them wet movement, or when you catch a fish, tag it and get back to research through it. Fishing does so much for all of us. It gives us the best laughs and the biggest smiles of my life have been because fishing has given it to me, and the least we can do is give back to the sport. And I think just giving back with everything you do in you and returning the favor to the world and its fisheries.
That's awesome. And that's what you can impart through these young fly fishers when they come to your lodge. What does a week look like for a young fly fisher, Steve, when they come to your lodge this through your program?
Well, you know, like Heather described, every day is sectioned off into a fishing portion and a conservation portion and an academic portion.
Okay.
So throughout the week, we'll start our mangrove restoration. The core initiative we have in Guanaja is a mangrove restoration project. Because of that hurricane I mentioned earlier, Hurricane Mitch came and really put a devastation on the mangrove forest, which is crucial to the fish that we hunt and the reef system and all of Guanaja. My business partner, initially Scotty Duncan, started a mangrove restoration project with the locals that our students ended up fueling with their hard work. So what we would do is go and pick off the beans, the seeds from the mangrove trees, and build shade for them and put them in plastic that we collected off the beach that was cut in half with dirt and let them grow a little more and then go out and plant them ourselves.
Wow.
And so we've increased the reproduction of the forest, and we've been doing it for 10 years now. And Scotty told me in 10 years you're going to see a difference, and he's exactly right. We have forests growing where there wasn't, and fish tailing in between them. And
that's neat.
That's our central initiative. But since then, we have an art project that will always be continuing, which is a mural through Mangrove Bite that Heather started with my wife, Becky. And they've turned this portion of Mangrove Bite from kind of a more desperate looking area to a very inspiring, beautiful area.
Yeah.
It's amazing what art can do. Their permit with recycled tiles and mirrors.
Oh, neat.
That you can walk along. That's how a week looks.
Yeah.
You know, some students come for 2 weeks and they eventually become interns and stay for a month. And it's a natural leadership program where you start with a week and you might end up, be careful for there for 6 months.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah. I have to get back to the story of Rankin. Yes. Because, you know, it's incredible. I actually saw this film, Beyond the Horizon, and this is an incredible story. And so, is that available yet on YouTube?
Oh, it is.
It is.
Yes.
Okay,
it's on Vimeo. It's called Beyond the Horizon. It's a 24-minute documentary that was in the Fly Fishing Film Tour. It won Film of the Year for the Drake Awards. It was a Vimeo staff pick, and it won Creative Excellence in the Five Points Film Festival. And then it was shown again in Denver at the OR Festival by Five Points in the Night of Stoke for that huge thing. So that film, the purpose of it was to announce the concept of Fishing for Change through Rankin Jackson's narrative, one of my best friends and our head guide. And so one of the other parts of the story, beyond getting close to Guanaja and hearing there were bonefish there and having my boss's brother, you know, have a connection, the other really interesting thing that happened was during our college course, when we were on the river in the jungle at the Jungle River Lodge, one of the rafting guides was Rankin from Guanaja. And he was the first real live Guanajan that I had met.
Oh.
After backpacking around Guanaja for years.
Wow.
And Rankin verified to me face-to-face the bonefish that were there and the permit and all of it. And we became immediate friends, and he was only 18. Now I look back, that's when he was at the crossroads between the career he started with the cartel, this little dabble in tourism with rafting, and then he actually got chased out of the gangs into the Air Force and thought that he could be protected there from the gang world. And this was all happening when I met him. And that's what this film's about, Beyond the Horizon, is our friendship finally giving the option that allowed him to stay home, become a fly fishing guide, we're now one of the best in the Caribbean, and not have to choose between these other unfortunate options that others are pushed into. So, you know, it's been a big source of inspiration for our local community. And
it was a great movie, and I encourage everybody to go check out Beyond the Horizon on Vimeo. Can you give our listeners just kind of that 1 to 2 minute trailer, if you will, of the story as far as when you guys are heading out to that island.
Yeah, and so you got the start of it. It's Rankin telling his narrative of why he made those choices as a teenager and then what it meant when our friendship started, and that became a fly fishing career. But when I got to Guanaja 10 years ago, there's a lot of fish there, but I'd heard about this place even further, 160 miles out into the open sea off the Mosquito Coast, that had thousands of bonefish and permit over 50 pounds and never a fly angler, but we couldn't get there. They were trying to get me to go, my friends in Guanaja, on a 25, 27-hour boat ride. I never had the time to get out there, but I knew this fishery existed, and it was always kind of Guanaja's ace in the hole. You know, it was a place we could expand. One of the limitations of Guanaja is its size, so I can't, you know, we have four or five boats on the water, and that's a perfect amount, but it had been a dangerous area. It's most famous locally for drug running up until a couple years ago. It's also where there's lobster fishermen and snapper fishermen, but it's really off the beaten path of anything in the Caribbean. It's as far remote as it could be. So it wasn't until I found a pilot that had a chopper out of Roatan and became friends with him that allowed us to first get a glimpse there with transportation that would be feasible for our guests as well.
Okay.
I knew we were getting near to exploring this frontier for the first time as fly anglers, and so I wanted to document it. And we had Rankin's narrative drive the story, even though he is just one of a big team of a lot of other compelling narratives.
Yeah.
His brothers are my guides. They're all amazing in different ways, but he's got the personality to kind of shoulder this sort of story. So we put it all together. You know, Rankin's story alone was enough for a film. Exploring and discovering the faraway keys was enough for a film, but the combo was just something we had to do. And so we circled back to Shannon Vandeveer and Cold Collaborative as his career has blossomed along ours, and we made this film. And since then, he's booked out for years and been making
incredible
films for everybody.
And so you ran out there.
And so we finally went out there, and going out there in chopper, spending 4 days to fish out there, we've created a base with yurts on a tiny little island.
Oh, wow.
We have security. We have Honduran military, two of them there, to protect us in case.
Yep. And that's all since the movie.
That's all since the movie. The movie was actually filmed on site during the exploration.
Yeah.
The first trip out there.
And it
there.
Was boat. You ran out there in a boat.
Yeah. We had to go out there in boat with supplies. And then the big stress in the movie is that I couldn't get jet fuel out there because to transport it was very challenging and illegal and hard to get permits. So we had to get a transport ship to carry out jet fuel for the chopper to go back and forth. But since then, we refuel in a port city and don't have to do that. But.
Well, we won't give away the end for those who want to go check it out on Vimeo, because there's this really cool ending that we want everyone to go check it out. So check out the movie, guys, and it's been a real pleasure.
All of the above. I mean, we have a really exciting summer ahead of us, and it's just really fun to see how things are progressing and moving along. I'm just pumped to see the faces of all the kids when they show up and the impression that's made on them throughout the course of our program.
So before we close, Heather, why don't you give our listeners a little bit about the programs that are going to happen right there in this summer?
Yeah, so this upcoming summer we're going to be holding programs at Flyfish Guanaja in the Honduras, Abaco Lodge in the Bahamas, Campeche Tarpon Lodge in the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico, and one in our home waters, well, Steve's home waters here of Colorado. So if you're interested in applying to any of our programs and checking them out, or if you know anyone that is, you can check out our website at www.fishforchange.org or shoot us an email over at info@fishforchange.org, and we would be so lucky to expand the tribe.
So cool.
Awesome. And I recommend looking at fishforchange.org regardless if you want to, you know, sign up for a group or not. It's a great website that really tells our story and shows our team. And then I wanted to tell you a little bit about the Colorado program this summer, because it's different than these other foreign destinations. We're going to be floating the Gunnison River through the Black Canyon on a 5-day float, and then after that we're going to the Roaring Fork Valley, staying at the Colorado Mountain College and engaging in Colorado Adaptive Angler, a company that my friend has started working with adaptive anglers and autism. So basically the 5-day course in the Gunny is going to be training these high school kids to go help others that need it the most. And I also wanted to say Don't let cost prohibit you from looking and signing up and applying to our trips. The reason we started Fish for Change nonprofit is to provide these programs to people with diverse economic background. That's why we're an organization. So we're working as hard as we can right now, fundraising to raise scholarships for those kids. And it's been an inspiring process. And of course, I would have to say, if you are interested in helping a student go, that's a real compelling reason to go to our website.
That's so powerful. I'm glad you mentioned that too about the scholarships, because some kids may not be able to afford something like that.
Absolutely.
But some families might be able to afford a little bit extra. You know, I'm glad you guys have scholarships available and providing opportunities for people to participate in providing a scholarship. That right there is, in essence, fly fishing journeys, because it's all part of a journey, and we're all on this journey together, and you guys are participating in that, so I really appreciate that. Fishforchange.org, I highly encourage our listeners to go check that out. Guys, thank you again for being on our podcast.
Thanks so much for having us,
Rob. My pleasure.
You've been listening to Fly Fishing Journeys with your host, Rob Giannino. To be notified of new episodes, subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Podcasts. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. For past episodes, check out flyfishingjourneys.com. Fly fishing is a journey, and we're glad you're on this journey with us.